Like you and I grew up in the Long Island area, right? Like we're both from Long Island.
That's right.
You have much more. I mean, you know, given that you're older than me, but you also have a lot more experience on tracks and stuff like that than I do, which is zero.
Yes, I have more than zero.
Right, but like so, like. We're from the same place. Like, I don't understand. Like, you had to travel every time you wanted to go onto a track and get experience, or, you know, how has it been that you're...
Well, that's a loaded question, but go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, you've been to way... I've been to English Town before, you know, with the drag strip over there, whatever. I never raced on it.
Why not?
I don't know. I was a spectator.
But you didn't have that desire to ever hit the track?
I did. I did have a desire.
But you didn't because...
I don't know. I guess I didn't know the first steps to kind of getting onto the track or whatever it was. Like, I had my...
Helmet, $40.
Yeah.
That used to be what it was, really.
Wow.
A helmet, a fire jacket, and $40. But that was only in the later part.
Well, one of the few times I've only been there to watch drag racing was for Honda Day, back when it was still called Honda Day.
Yeah, that doesn't count. That's different.
I know.
It's like an event.
Right. So I didn't just want to sign up and go there. Because
they used to have test and tunes every Wednesday.
Hmm.
So, like, Wednesday night used to be the night, like, where people would, like... Jerly into English Town.
Okay.
And then we realized, you know, as we got a little bit older, we realized that really the name of the game was actually renting ATCO out, because ATCO used to do a thing. I think it was like $1,500 for like a weekday.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, it was like $1,500 for a weekday, which gave you, I think, up to 15 cars or something like that. And then you could pay for track prep or something to that effect if you wanted it, which, you know, you did because it wasn't, like, very good without it. But we used to, like, when we realized that, like, oh, like, you know, get 10 people, spend $150,
mm-hmm.
like, you'll be able to run as much as you want for hours and hours, you know?
That's pretty cool. I mean, well, so I guess the thing is, like, what do people do who don't have any tracks near them?
Well, I mean, now that's pretty much everywhere in the Northeast, at least. Well, that's not true. Connecticut has, like, some stuff, but...
I mean, like, when we went down to Fuel Fest over at Jersey Motorsports Park, you mm-hmm. know, last month or whatever, while we were down there, there was a whole bunch of other events going on other parts of the tracks or whatever. Or there's two tracks there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there was an event going on one of the other tracks, which was all go-karts.
Okay.
Or they have a go-kart and track or whatever it is. It's, like, the really fast...
I've only been to New Jersey Motorsports Park once, so I don't
know.
What are the
carts called?
Yeah, they're carts.
Carts, whatever, yeah. But, like, there were so many people there just for that stuff. And, I mean, that's sick, and you can't do that anywhere else on the streets or whatever it is. You have to bring that stuff particularly to a track.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, and then I think of, like, all the other stuff in terms of, like, car-related stuff. Where do people going to go if they have nowhere near them? If they want to run, they got to travel. Everyone has to travel to get to a track.
Yeah, but that's how it was with us. Like, you know, originally back in the day, like, we're from Long Island, for those that are listening, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, we, you know, when I first got into, like, started to get into drag racing and was really starting to get into cars like that, like, we had West Hampton Dragway. And,
right.
like, that was, you know, a 30-minute jaunt for us to get out there and then... You know, it wasn't the best track. In fact, it wasn't very good at all.
When did that close?
2004, somewhere in that area.
I was far away from
2005. I feel like 2004, 2005, right in that 2004.
I was some time away from getting my license still.
Yeah, not me. So, like, we used to go there, but, like, I mean, for the most part, any of the bigger races or any of the, like, the events or anything that was of substance, you went to English Town, you know?
Right.
And now they've basically taken the first, they destroyed that as a drag strip, leveled the last eighth mile, turned the front eighth of the mile of the drag strip into that drift stadium.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you have any particular experience drifting? No, right?
I have like 12 minutes in that sim.
Oh, that's right, and you're in the sim.
Yeah,
but yeah, so like so there, you need a different type of track to be able to drift on. So where are people going to drift? Like, I just found out recently that there is some kind of more you know, smaller scale drifting stuff happening in our local area, but, like, I'm pretty sure it's just parking lot stuff and people kind of organize it and do it. But
yeah,
like,
I mean, it's I'm sure most of them are going to be skid pads and open lots,
exactly,
and stuff like that. I mean, look, I mean, you know, I think that that's still tough to you know, it might be something to satisfy a little bit of your need, but it's not going to be like, you know, like, oh yeah, like I'm at a full facility that you know, embraces this.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, what's the answer then? You want to go pack up your stuff and go drifting, and you got to carry yourself, what, extra wheels and tires and stuff like that, and then go across state lines to a track to go drift?
Yeah.
It makes it hard for people.
Of course
people.
It makes it hard.
Yeah. I mean,
but that's been the problem with, and people have been arguing about tracks closing for decades.
Yeah.
Is the fact that there's nowhere to go.
Yeah. ACO, you mentioned already.
ACO's gone now.
That's gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then another track recently, Heartland Motorsports Park, somewhere in the south, closed.
Yep.
I mean, where are people going to go to do motorsports-like stuff?
Well, see, that's the problem. The problem is that, like, with all these tracks closing, you have a lot of the issues coming in that there isn't going to be a place or a facility that gives people an outlet to kind of do this stuff.
Yeah.
So you create a problem which is never going to be resolved. Listen, I don't want to say, like, this has always been the measure of people that, you know, when tracks were closing, you know, specifically, like, you know, in the early 2000s, people making the thing that really led to a lot of these kids hitting the street even more, street racing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's funny that you should say. Would you say that the lack of tracks nearby or accessible for people in the majority, say in the Northeast, do you think that results in more of these takeover type things?
No.
Why not?
Because takeovers are nothing like a motorsport. Period.
Yeah, okay. So would it be fair to say that there are legit enthusiasts there, maybe not taking part in it, but maybe just things got carried away and they were there thinking that they were going to do some enthusiast-like stuff, and then it turns into more rowdy, not enthusiast-like stuff.
No.
Do you get what I mean by,
like,
that?
Maybe in the first start of what that turned into. But once it was really identified by social media as what it was.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that you're getting people out there. Do I think that there's some overlap? Do I think that there's occasionally a couple cool cars or there are some cool cars that maybe those people really in, like, also would like to go to their drag strip? Yeah, but do I think that they're going there as a replacement for not having a track? I don't, but I will say that I think that the lack of tracks exacerbates maybe another outlet that people could have used to replace some of these things. But I think ultimately, you know what street takeovers really remind me of?
What?
They remind me of the dudes on the belt that do the, usually in BMWs or Q50s.
Oh, I know exactly what you're going to say.
They remind me of these guys that just, you know, are full on, flat out, in between lanes, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then cause these massive wrecks. I just think that they're completely...
They have a name for that. They call it no hesi.
Yeah, well, guess what? I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
No hesitation, because I
figured out the abbreviation.
They're just
Rich.
Going and just weaving at with no.
So here, for somebody that lives in you know, in New York, that will drive in the city, or, you know, and it even happens now. It happens a lot. It still happens a lot, like, you know, on the expressway, right? Mm-hmm. I think for somebody that's been, you know, in the midst. Mm-hmm. Of having these cars doing that stuff more than a handful of times, I will say that I think it's the most destructive thing that you possibly can do.
I mean, it's crazy stuff. It's really just so dangerous and ridiculous and stupid.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
there's nothing motorsport about it.
No.
Like, I don't care what you say. There is no correlation that I could... I'm not you, but, I mean, I don't care what anybody would say. I don't believe that there's any correlation that you can put on that type of recklessness. You know, because the truth is, you know, look, the thing is that they're relying on everything to remain perfect, right? That let's even say that these people somehow, we didn't know, but they were just as good as Michael Schumacher and happened to own an Infiniti. And they decide, all right, I'm going to now, you know, take and show you my skills in the middle of a traffic-filled Belt Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
You're still relying on everything being perfect.
Well,
people on the belt can't navigate on and off ramps.
No.
What makes you think that they're going to hold their position so that you can squeeze your BMW through the gap?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the real message here is that, you know, the people need a controlled environment, right? You know, like doing any of that kind of stuff in real daytime traffic or traffic in general on the streets is just so ridiculously stupid and just dangerous that it should never be done or happen or whatever. I mean, it's different than street racing, what I would say. You know, from street racing, when I think of it, it's a little bit more controlled than this.
And this by is a not, little bit, there, but this is a, that this thing that you see going on, these, whether it be the no hesi thing or the street takeovers or whatever, there's nothing racing about it.
Right.
And the donuts that people are doing in the middle of these circles at street takeovers, that's not drifting.
No.
Like, drifting is not something that you happen to do in your car. That's hoonigan stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't want to use hoonigan, but, like, that's stuff that when you're ratcheting around in your car or messing around. It's the thing we used to do as kids, like, in the snow. The best part about snow was the fact that you used to take your front-wheel drive car and you used to be able to go into a parking lot, pull the e-brake a little bit, an empty parking lot covered with a little bit of snow, and you get the car to slide a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as a kid, we were always looking for empty parking lots when it first snowed. Like, I remember, like, you know, Nextel, right? yo, what's up? What are you doing right now? Nothing. Yo, it just started snowing. Okay. You want to hit the parking lot? Yeah, let me get my clothes on. I'll be over in 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there was nobody else in there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we would go. I mean, and again, I'm not condoning even that. But what I'm saying is that, like,
but
this was just, and it wasn't high speed. It was
no, that's what I'm saying. It's more of a controlled, it's a controlled environment.
Well, I mean, look, you can argue that.
Controllable.
More, there was nothing we were going to mess up, and there was no other people there. But
yeah,
where this gets complicated is when you bring a lot of people and start doing donuts, and, you know, I mean, you're not it's not good.
No.
It's not good. And you know what the worst part about this is that, and I hate, because I don't like to go political, right? But politicians and lawmakers and people that are not into cars, okay? I'm going to group everybody into people that are not into cars, because I believe that there's people in those lawmaking categories that are into cars, and they do understand that what this is.
Mm-hmm.
But they tend not, the people that don't know about cars, they tend to relate this to motorsport.
Yeah.
Which is a fallacy, and it's a complete, just completely incorrect. And when they do that, they're basically taking people that are, you know, that really like to do motorsports in a controlled environment in a safe way, and they want to be able to just race,
mm-hmm.
and or drift or compete in motorsport.
Yep.
You're saying that is negated because that's the same as causing riots and injuries and
property damaging,
whatever.
Yeah, all that
disregard
stuff.
To laws.
Yep.
On public roadways.
Right.
Not the same.
No, it's definitely not the same at all. You know what I wonder? I wonder if there's an increase of takeovers in areas where there's no tracks nearby, though. That's something that I would think.
Now, here's where the part gets really messy, and I don't have any data or facts to back
me
it
either.
Up.
I'm just saying speculation, this just in intuition, I guess. I don't know.
But I would venture to say that if you looked at the majority, it's less to do with the tracks and it's more to do with urban centers.
Hmm. So what do you mean, though?
I just mean, like I don't see too many takeovers that are happening in the middle of these suburbs. I feel like every takeover that I see is happening in some sort of urban city, mm-hmm. right? Like, they don't have, when we see them in the middle of this big intersection, there's no other, there's like, I mean, that's their neighborhood, or they're going to some of these neighborhoods, and I don't know. Like, I just feel like it's a layer of population. Like I'll be honest with you, like, I don't, you know, even this no hesi thing, like, I think it's pretty big in very specific areas, you know? You know, I even think about, like, what happened with drag racing 20 years ago, right? Drag racing was in closed off industrial areas at night.
Mm-hmm.
Reckless, yep. Something that should have been done? No. But the people that they were going to hurt was themselves. Yeah. Now, that's not good either. I'm not just putting a positive spin on something. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, it wasn't on a public roadway. And I even remember being at some of these events in Mexico, of course, and people took pretty good lengths to try, and again, not condoning it, but took pretty good lengths to try to ensure that things stayed closed, that there was no other traffic going in, which is, I think, a major difference between...
That even reminds me right away of the first...
Don't say it.
Streets closed, pizza boy.
No, stop it. But I vaguely remember way back in the day, and you know, that there would be people that would cover cross streets, like that. Mm-hmm. And yes, there was the Nextel thing, right? And then, you know, even some of the people that would be kind of running those races, you know, when they were like, was there times that there was like big races and you had a lot of the people spectator, like they're a little too close to maybe the two cars? Yep. But for the most part, even before the race, I remember like you used to always be guys, move, you know, like waving people out of the way and different things like that, because they were trying to make, this wasn't about getting anybody hurt. This was legitimately just about racing cars.
You know what it is? I think the main difference has just got to be down to, you know, the interest, essentially, in the sense that people out there who were street racing years ago like that or whatever that you're describing, and people who go into motorsports have the same passion for cars and tuning and stuff like that.
Yes.
And you know what the difference is? The people who do the takeovers and whatever, all they care about is showing shit on... showing stuff on social media.
Well, so that's a good point. So then what do you think the appeal is for street takeovers?
The appeal is I have a boring life... and I'm doing something cool, look at me. Or quote-unquote cool.
So you think it's all about the social
appeal? Yeah, I'm doing... look at me, I'm doing rowdy stuff, and I'm living a cool life. And, you know, it's not car-driven like the other stuff. Like, you know, like people who care about tuning their cars and working on their cars and, you know, just car-related stuff, the passion, you know?
I agree. I don't
they don't have the bug.
I don't think they're the same things. But I do think that not having tracks is extremely detrimental to anybody who's going to want to take part in motorsports. And when I say that, I want to be very, very clear.
I think so too. That's kind of more or less what I was trying to say. You know what sucks the most too? I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
But something that sucks is that if you're in a... imagine being in the area where takeovers happen and you don't partake in that because you're not stupid.
So, well, that's Ocean City with the whole... H2O thing.
Yeah, but imagine...
but it wasn't H2O.
Imagine you at home, you have some kind of beautiful tuner car that you put your heart and soul working into, and you gotta drive that thing around the streets, and people are looking at you like, that guy's an a-hole.
But that's what's happened.
And you're just like, no, not me. You guys who doesn't know cars, you don't get it. This is not that.
I feel like that even to this day.
It's... that sucks. You know?
Yeah, I mean, look, here's one thing that I think, probably the only thing I could think of that's been positive about getting older, and I'm not, like, old, just for everybody to know, I'm not, like, not that old, but, like, I mean, I'm older than the average younger bear, but, like, I'm younger than the average older bear.
Yes.
Right. So...
some might say middle life.
No, I don't believe... I'm hoping not, because I have some more years, I want to do some stuff, but...
there we go.
What I'm saying is, like, what was I saying?
You were saying that there was one positive light to growing older.
One part of getting older is that, like, for even when I'm driving my car or if I'm driving something, I feel like there's that moment of, you know, when you roll past the cop, like, and you're like, oh.
Of course.
Like, yeah. And so there's that moment of, like, oh, I put the clutch in, try to drop the exhaust note and you know, whatever. And I pass a cop, and then there's those times where, like, I feel like he sees me look at him, and then he's looking at me because of the car, and then he's like, ah, oh, he's too old for that. He's fine. And, like, he lets me go. Like, just doesn't even say anything. Let it go right by.
This might be a little ridiculous for me to say on the podcast, but I think it's okay. You're going to just be like, this is ridiculous. you're going to be like, this is really silly, but it's just on topic. Okay. I've been saying this same thing for the last like 10 years, my entire time driving. I found a hack to drive past in a cop and never getting pulled over. And,
okay.
And it's so, like, I used to drive around in my Civic, which was loud as hell because it was you know, I had no cat and it wasn't straight pipe, but it was, might as well be, you know, it was very loud. And, my trick to driving past a cop and not getting pulled over, it was to pick your nose. And the reason was because if you can make dead eye contact with your finger and your nose passing that cop, the first thing that guy's going to think is gross. That guy's picking his nose. He's not going to think that's a loud car with pull him over. And I think it's worked. I think it's always worked. I don't know.
There are not too many things in this life that make me speechless.
Listen, you drive past someone and they're picking their nose. What's the first thing you're going to think? Just, ugh, that guy's picking his nose.
Oh, I mean, okay.
Before you know it, I'm gone and that cop's just like, that was gross. Doesn't even know, didn't even realize what car I was in. He was just like, ugh.
I don't, Rich, I don't know. On to really, the next I'll one. I'll be honest with you. I'm incredibly sorry that you cut me off on whatever I was going to say to tell me that.
I passed on that information to a couple of friends of mine. They all confirmed it works.
But their sole citing is that they have... So now what do I got to do? I got it. We got it. No, I'm not... This is ridiculous. I'm not...
Okay.
I'm not entertaining this. This is unreal. This didn't happen.
We can move on.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, geez, that was awful. I don't even understand it all. Anyhow... So whatever we were saying, the one advantage I think to getting older is the fact that when cops seem to look at me, they kind of just like, nah, it's not him. I mean, unless I'm doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
They're just like, oh, he's good. He's.
I think there's that level of like, eh. Like, you know, when I realized there was, so like when I first had my daughter, right? Like way back in the day, I remember I realized that if they could just see the baby seat, like, they wouldn't want to pull me over.
Yeah.
Like, who wants to pull over with a baby in, or a car, or a kid in the back seat, right?
No.
And so, like, then I did get pulled over when she was in the back seat because my registration was, I guess it lapsed.
Uh-huh.
So the cop was like, look, you know, but the way he said it was like, to me, was everything. He's like, look, I ran your plate came back as like, you know, your registry. He's like, look, where are you headed to now? I'm like, oh, I got to drop my daughter off and then I'm going to work. And he's like, when you get to work, go online, DMV,
right.
Do the thing, print it out. He's like, you can get back on. He's like, you know, the date's printed right on your registration. He's like, it's not just the month and the year at the end of the month. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. He's like, yeah, well, he's like, look, he's like, get to work, take care of it. But, like, I remember him constantly looking in the back seat and I remember thinking, like, oh, like, I bet you I would have got a ticket if she wasn't here. You know, like, so I think the older things, sometimes they give you a little bit of a slide just because it's like,
it's a lot different than having, like,
he's like, there's nothing in my car. There's nothing he's going to find. Like, he doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing else. I feel like half the time they stop these people, besides just making a point, is to almost, like, because they know there's going to be seven other things that will come of it. And when you get to the dude like me, that like, what are you going to cite me for? Like, I wasn't speeding. Like, he's really got to have something to pull me over with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
So, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, look, no tracks, I think, are a catastrophe. And, you know, here's the other thing. Last thing. I think that it doesn't matter. I think people, when they hear motorsports, they're immediately thinking internal combustion engines, and they don't equate people that are getting into EVs as going to be like into motorsports either. But I will say this, these EV cars are often much faster than the majority of the internal combustion engine cars.
Without a doubt, we all know that.
And because of that, I think you're going to find that people are going to want to use them for motorsport even at that. So if that's going to be the case, then I think you're still doing a disservice to the community by not having an outlet for men, women, children, theys, its, us, all colors, to have a place to participate and drive these cars.
Yeah.
And trucks and stuff and carts and stuff.
I think so too.
Yeah. So that's it. We're done. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm worried that you got to pick your nose, and I want to get the heck away from you.
If anyone heard that, it's a good hack.
Anyhow, we'll catch you on the next one.